What if you didn't have to hustle and grind in order to create a successful business? I hear from so many women entrepreneurs who are working crazy long hours, doing absolutely everything themselves, and then feeling like there's always another emergency to deal with in their business. Friends, panic is not a business strategy. And if your business is constantly in emergency mode, it might be because you're running by default instead of by design. When you learn to run your business by design, it begins to run like clockwork. That's why in today's episode, we are consciously designing your business to work for you. Let's dive in. Are you ready to grow from stressed out solopreneur to confident CEO? You're in the right place. I'm your host, Rachel Cook, and I've spent more than 15 years helping women entrepreneurs sustainably scale their businesses. If you're serious about building a sustainable business, it's time to put the strategy, systems, and support in place to make it happen. Join me every week for candid conversations about stepping into your role as CEO, the hard lessons learned along the way, and practical, profitable strategies to grow a sustainable business without the hustle and burnout. Okay, CEOs, now before we get into today's episode, I want to make sure that you have downloaded all of the workbooks that go along with the Plan Your Best Year Ever Challenge. This is a free 5-day challenge that we are running here on the podcast because I truly, truly believe this process is a game changer in getting the clarity you need in order to build more momentum in your business. So for podcast listeners, we have a top secret page for you at theceocollective.com/BYE to sign up for the full 5-day challenge, get access to all of the workbooks and additional resources. Look, I know how easy it is to listen to a podcast like this and think, I should absolutely sit down and work through this process. But then the podcast disappears from your memory. You haven't made time to sit down and do the work. And that just holds you back so much. We need to get out of content consumption mode, out of information overload, and into implementation mode. Every 10 minutes that you use planning saves you an hour in implementation. So even though it does take time up front, you have to clear a little bit of time in your calendar to do these workbooks, it will save you so much time and energy on the other side. When it comes to getting things done, if you spend a couple hours with me doing the planning in the Best Year Ever Challenge, you will save at least 10, 20, or more hours in your business. So I want to help you make sure that next year truly is set up for success and that your business is truly working for you. So make sure that as you're going through this challenge, you are tagging me over on Instagram at rachel.cook. Let me know your biggest ahas and insights as you're going through today's challenge, all about creating your business by design. Let's get into it. Hey there, welcome back to the Plan Your Best Year Ever Challenge. I'm Rachel Cook, founder of the CEO Collective and host of the Promote Yourself to CEO podcast. We are officially at the midpoint of this 5-day challenge. And today is really the highlight of the entire challenge in my mind. So now we are moving on to designing your business. So far in this challenge, you've already done day one, which was the year in review, and day two, designing your life for the year ahead. You might be asking yourself, Rach, why are we doing business design after lifestyle design? Well, putting your life before business has been a huge part of my overall methodology because I've heard from way too many women entrepreneurs who are on the fast track to burnout. They've been working too many late nights, too many weekends, with not enough vacation time, not enough downtime, and just incredibly overworked and overstressed. By the time they get to years 2, 3, 5, and beyond in their business, they're really burned out. They're not motivated or inspired. And if it continues like this, they start to feel like this dream business that was supposed to give them so much freedom and flexibility, it's not sustainable at all. And it's become kind of a nightmare. So how do we avoid that? Well, we have to design our business to support our dream life. Now that we have your painted picture for your life next year, we can put on our CEO hat and start doing some more strategic planning. The strategic planning process we're going to walk through today is the same types of questions I ask my clients inside of the CEO Collective. And this is to make sure that your business is 100% aligned with your definition of success. This is crucial because as entrepreneurs, we can really easily get completely distracted by other people's work, by comparisonitis, or shiny new ideas that distract us and keep us from following through, from truly focusing our time and our energy on the things that will move our business forward and start to build momentum. So we want to think through our definition of success first. On the personal side, we already started this process in the day two, but I want you to take a few minutes and really clarify what does success look like in each of these five areas. First, in the major relationships in your life, what does success look like with your family? What does it look like with your significant other? What does it look like with your children? What about extended family? How would you measure success there? And if you're having a hard time with this, think about things that are actionable that you can actually check off. I find that when we are able to get clarity around the things we are going to do, the things we are going to take action on to help us feel more successful there, that gives us a lot more focus, a lot more control over if we're being successful in that area. So for example, I might say one of my priorities to help me feel successful in my relationships is to prioritize date nights with my husband or to prioritize solo one-on-one time with each of my kids at least once a month where they're getting like a whole day of just me and them. With my extended family, it could be making time to go visit my parents and spend time with them. It could be on the friendship front, which I have made a major priority and feel very successful at this year, prioritizing attending the things that my friends are going to, calling people up and making time for girls' nights or going out to dinner together. So you want to think through what will help you feel successful in that area. What will help you feel successful in your lifestyle? We've already talked about the upgrades in your lifestyle, but I also want you to think about the other things that make you feel successful in that area. And it could be the hours you work, being able to work less hours, being able to take more time off. That can often be a big motivator and make you feel more successful in your overall life. Think about your health and your wellness. What is success in that area? As someone with chronic health challenges, this is so crucially important to me because I know that I will feel at my highest level if I have prioritized doing things like going to chiropractic, going to acupuncture, eating the right foods, making sure I have my supplements on auto ship, making time for my walks in the morning. Those are the things that help me feel successful in that area. What about hobbies and creative pursuits? What will make you feel successful there? And I truly believe that having some sort of creative outlet that is not tied to your business is really powerful. So I have picked up different hobbies over the years. And this past year, something that made me feel really successful in my creativity was I picked back up crochet and started making baby blankets for new babies in my family, which was really fun to be able to give as a gift. And finally, what makes you feel successful in the spiritual and emotional side of your life? What helps you deepen your own connection to yourself and whatever your higher power might be? This could be as simple as having some sort of gratitude practice, prayer practice, attending specific services, whatever matters most to you, what makes you feel successful in this area. Once you've documented this, we have such a clear picture of what we need to make space for, of what we need to prioritize. Then we want to ask ourselves, what about our professional definition of success? How do we know if we are successful in these areas? How do we determine what success looks like with our clients? So how are we measuring success for the clients? What are the results that we have promised them, and are they achieving those results? When we're thinking about creativity in our business, how are we measuring that? How are we determining if we're successful in our creative outlets that happen in our business? What about content and visibility? what does success look like for you in putting your experience and expertise out into the world? When it comes to your team, what does success look like there? How do you know that you've successfully built your team? And how do you successfully know that you're leading that team? Finally, what does success look like in overall growth and momentum in your business? Now, we don't want to put ourselves in a situation where we've said success looks like quadrupling my business in over a year. That often does not happen. We want to really be thinking about maybe in that area, like a good, better, best. So what does overall growth in the business look like on the low end all the way to the high end? As we continue to think through what we want next year, we want to think about our dream clients. Our dream clients are so important, and often we only think about this when we are sitting down to create a new offer, but this is something we should always be reevaluating and really thinking about. Who did I absolutely love working with, and who would I continue to like working with? How can I basically clone my favorite clients? What are the attributes that they all share? What are the characteristics that they share that made them so great to work with? This could be things that are about like their personality, their values, their worldview. It could be the specific types of things they came to you for. So maybe the specific challenges they had or the specific goals that they had. There's usually a common denominator between the types of clients you absolutely love working with. Once we have dialed in your dream clients and who you want to work with even more next year, I want you to start shifting into money mode and let's come up with a revenue plan. So yesterday we started using the Get Paid calculator, and maybe you started to jump ahead into using it a little bit more. But the Get Paid calculator is here to help you start with your personal salary calculator, looking at what it costs to live your life currently, like today, and then looking at what increased cost will go into your dream life 1 year from today. So you have your current salary and your future salary. It'll probably have a goal that you're going to increase your take-home pay. You're going to give yourself a raise next year by growing your business. So that is the first step, right? Figuring out what you personally want to take home out of your business. Then we want to use the next tab of the Get Paid calculator to figure out what our revenue goal needs to be. Now, the revenue goal is in this calculator designed using some of the percentages that were shared by Mike Michalowicz in his book and program Profit First. He shares that most businesses that are generating under $250,000 a year in gross revenue should be paying the business owner about 50% of that. So if your goal is to have $100,000 a year take-home pay, then you need to be paying your business needs to be bringing in about $200,000 to $250,000. So you can use the Get Paid calculator to help you figure out what that overall revenue goal should be. And the final part of the Get Paid calculator is where you can use the sales calculator to reverse engineer the exact sales you need to make of each offer that you have. So you can go line by line and plug in the specific product, program, or service, the price point, and the number of clients that you need to have purchased that from you, and see that it adds up to your revenue goal. I've even included a little audience calculator so that you can determine how many people you need to get that offer in front of in order to hit those sales goals. That will make a lot more sense when you actually get into the calculator. And again, there's additional resources there to help you out. As you start to look at your products, programs, and services, I do think it's helpful to go back and look at what you sold this year and compare it to what you're going to sell next year. So again, this past year has a lot to share with you. And for a lot of small businesses, things have changed. The economy has shifted a little bit. Buyers have changed a little bit. So something that you might have sold a lot of in past years maybe is not doing as well right now. Or maybe you are needing to shift in a new direction. So maybe the last year you have been focused primarily one-to-one, and next year you want to shift to doing something more leveraged, more in a group. So this is a great opportunity for you to sit down and look at everything that you sold this year, all those specific offers, look at the price point of those offers, the number of sales that you had, so the number of people who purchased that, and the total revenue of each offer. Remember, the 80-20 rule often plays out. So chances are when you break this down, you will see that the bulk of your revenue has in the past been made up of just a couple of your specific offers. Then you want to look ahead to next year and map out, use the Get Paid Calculator to help you, map out your specific products, programs, and services you're going to sell next year, the price point, the number of sales, so the number of clients who are going to purchase each one of those products, programs, or services, and then the total revenue that you're expecting from all of those sales. This information is going to help you get clarity about what you need to do next year. And as we move into the next few days of this challenge, you're going to have a lot more clarity on what you need to promote and what your marketing strategy needs to be in order to make these sales a reality. Finally, as we start to wrap up here, we want to take a look at how effective your marketing strategies have been. So one of the best ways to do this is to review your last 10 paying clients. You're going to have to pull out some information and, you know, look up where did those specific clients come from. If you are not asking your clients how they heard about you and tracking where they came from, then we don't know how effective or ineffective your marketing and sales strategies are. So I encourage you to go through who are the last 10 people who paid you, who signed up for a product, program, or service, and do a little investigating. Maybe in your intake form, you asked, how did you hear about me? Maybe in the application form that you had, you asked, how did you hear about me? If you log into your email service provider, you can often see when they initially joined your email list and how they got to your email list. I encourage every single person, though, to make sure that you're asking your clients, how did you hear about me? Because that will quickly tell you whether or not your marketing strategies are effective. Okay, go ahead and grab today's workbook. Make sure you have gone through each of these things. I know it's a lot of different areas of your business to think about, but we are now really taking the time to press pause and evaluate the effectiveness of all the things that you do in your business. It is so easy to just continue trying more and more and more things, to keep throwing more spaghetti at the wall, but not really drill down and determine whether or not that thing is working. Today, we want to get the clarity. We want to understand what is working and start committing to what we're going to focus on next year. Okay, I can't wait to see you in tomorrow's challenge. Make sure you've headed over to Instagram, tag me @rachel.cook, and let me know your biggest insights.